Welcome, everybody, to today's service. Appreciate you taking your time to come to the worship today at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. We welcome all the visitors. We hope that you're made to feel welcome, and we hope that you come away feeling the Spirit of the Lord. So let's start our worship by grabbing the yellow book, as we call it, Songs to Remember, and we'll start with number 274. 274. Very good. Okay. Let's turn back a few pages to number 254. 254. Let me touch him. Thank you.
Brother Sam. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody out today. We are glad to see everybody that has made your way out to our church today. If you're visiting with us today, we are glad you're here to be with us. I think we've got some, as far as I know, I'm going to say it for the first time, and so we are going to say we're glad y'all came today, and just hope and pray that God will send forth a great big blessing to every one of us today. I hope God will just bless us in a way that we can just feel the Spirit. We got blessed last week, a good service last week, I thought. Only thing that would have made it better is if a few more people, well, I'll say everybody, had went ahead and testified. I'll just say it that way. And the other thing that would have made it better if somebody had gotten saved. That's what we always want to see in our church services, is when somebody finds the Lord. And I'm just praying that today would be that kind of a day. We want to keep praying for those that are inside of our congregation that are lost. And as Brother Stewart used in our lesson today, remember, when you're praying for them, you're interceding for them. And you're interceding on their behalf, wanting them to be saved. It's not your prayer that's going to save them, but it'll bring them closer to the Lord. I've been privileged over my lifetime to get certain people on my heart and just keep praying hard for them. And what the way I'll say it is when they do get saved, boy, it just doubles down on the blessing for me. It's always a blessing when I see somebody get saved. But if it's somebody that I've had a strong burden for, well, it's just really makes it better for me just to get that burden lifted off of me for that today. It's good to see everybody out here today. We're going to go on with our service today. The kids are going to get a treat. They get Brother Sam back today. He's going to be doing children's church, I'm guessing, over here on this side. So kids, come on, Brother Sam's waiting for you.
Yeah, it is. All right, here we go. Here we go. Anybody else? Anybody else? I guess not. Well, guess who gets my fit for the gold star shirt of the day? Ben. And why is that? Go Vols, right? That should have wore your Tennessee dress. We'll give you a pass this time. I've missed y'all. I hope y'all have gotten a lot of good from the other stuff that Brother Tom and Brother Ricky, because I've enjoyed their teaching. Today I won't keep you too long, but been something on my mind for a little while here. And it's kind of a review. But y'all are good on review, right? Y'all aced all the tests. You've learned all the lessons. You've got your diploma. Who can say the Ten Commandments for me? We'll do it together, okay? We'll do them together, right? Think we can do that? Okay, the one says, no other gods before me, right? Love him with all your heart. The second is, you will not make any idols. The third one is that you won't take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day? Remember? Did you?
You did the hand motions.
Huh? The hand motions? Okay, do it. Speak up. Sabbath. Mother. Don't kill. Don't steal. Yeah. Steal. Nine. Don't lie. Don't covet. Don't covet. They know them, you're just shy. Or you're not awake, you hadn't had Cheerios this morning. That's quite all right. But let's look at all that. Okay, it's interesting that the first four talk about what? Our relationship to God, right? And that's most important. And of all the rest of them, which one is addressed to young people, to children? It's the next one. Why? Honor thy father and your mother. Why is that? Why did the Lord put emphasis? In my mind, he put emphasis that that's the next thing. You know, in our relationship to God, the next one is talking to you. And the rest of them are talks about, you know, lying, stealing, killing, adultery, and coveting, and all that other stuff. Why is that? Well, I don't know the full answer, but I know the good answer. Because Paul also said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What did he say after that? If you get my honest admiration, if you can complete that. For this is right. And it's good that he says in the Lord because, you know, if you obey your parents and they're not in the Lord, then I'd advise not to do that because that's outside of God's name. Well, why did he want to set the stage, so to speak, for all the rest of them? Well, I'll tell you why, I think. Because he wanted you to have that foundation of loving the Lord, of loving the family, and your parents teaching you what is right. So that then, maybe, just maybe, you won't be as apt to violate the rest of them when you get older, okay? And if you go back to home base, what is home base in baseball? What is it? It's home base. It's where you start. So if your foundation as young children, if you obey the Lord and do what's right, then hopefully you won't be so prone or so given to commit the rest of them. Now, you're still liable to, you're subject to that. But the Lord wanted you to have a good start. So let's stand up and say that verse where he says it in Exodus, okay? The other good thing about that, it says you'll live longer, okay? So listen to what he says. Honor thy father and thy mother. Oh, my Lord. Say it with gusto, say it with feeling. Say it like you were acting on the stage. Honor thy father and thy mother. That thy days may be long upon the earth. Go Balls. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate the good lesson for the kids. It's good to see all the children come up. Looking forward to these little ones growing up and being able to come up and be a part of it too. And we're just thankful that we are blessed with young ones. A lot of people really, a lot of churches, I'll say so-called churches, they don't want children, babies, small ones, in the church service. I love to hear them here. I love for them to be here. Yeah, there's times they may be just a little bit loud, but I tell you what, when you have a church that doesn't have children in it, it's a dying church. And so I'm thankful for every one of you that brings your children into the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to make one quick announcement. Out on our table today, there is a box. The deacons have made a decision last night. As you may notice, our back row back here is a little empty today. Miss Helen and the kids are not here. We've been talking about Nathan now for quite a while with his cancer. He took a bad turn for the worse, I guess you'd say Friday. They are sending him home today with hospice. Let's be prayerful, first of all, for that family. But they felt like it'd be good for the church if we would help them. And so there's a donation box out there on the table today. I realize that a lot of people may not be exactly prepared for that, but you do what you feel like you can do and just let the Lord lead in this. They've had a long road with this sickness, and this part is not easy for them. And I want you to pray for Miss Helen, Brother John, as Nathan is passing. I asked him about his salvation the other day, and he told me about where he was saved and when. We need to be prayerful, though, for his family. Two of the boys that comes with Miss Helen's are his, and of course, Reef got saved a few years ago, and we just need to pray for them. There's always question marks when things comes up like this, and you pray for me that if I'm asked the questions, that I'll have the right answers, and so do remember them in your prayers. I wanted to make that quick announcement. If you're where you can today, that box is back there on the table, and we'll be giving that as an offering to them. And so let's be prayerful for them more than anything else. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? I want to mention a few people. Brother Slick, Miss Barbara, still unable to be out. Brother Key got up sick this morning. Brother Bill got up sick this morning, I think. And others, and I'm fixing to make a mess by forgetting to bring up somebody. But we need to continue to remember them. I do want to give you a quick report on my better half. A lot of you asked, but Paula had her surgery Thursday. She is doing well, although this is the third day, is what I've told everybody. She said this morning, she said, I've always heard third day was worse, and she says it's looking like it's going to be. So do remember her in your prayers. She would love to have been here today. She can't just because of the surgery. Y'all remember her in our prayers. Do want to thank the church. They've started a meal train for us, and appreciate whatever you do for us, but just ask you to pray more than anything else. So let's be prayerful one for another. Is there any other prayer request? We'll call them one to start a prayer, but we want everybody to pray today. Brother Steve, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue our worship and song service. Turn to number 240, an old number when we all get to heaven. 240.
Yeah.
Y'all are sounding very good this morning. Let's turn over to sing one of my favorite songs, number 11.
He started in on that song. And it was going to go along with the message. So let's just go ahead and get down to business, I guess is the best way to put it, this morning. Heaven help us if we ever get to the place where we get such a format as far as church service that we can't follow the Lord. And the song is, "It Is Well With My Soul." How many of you have ever heard the story behind this song? I'll give you a short version of it. There was a man, his business had burned up in the Chicago fires, the way I understood it. His wife and his children got on a ship shortly thereafter to go back to family in Great Britain. And my understanding is while they was over in the Atlantic Ocean, there came a great storm up and it sunk the ship, losing the family of this gentleman. Well, he was scheduled also to go across. But of course, he was in his anguish at that time, and my understanding is he asked the ship's captain about the sinking of the ship that his family was on, and he said, "Do you know about where it was?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, would you call me when you get there?" The captain called him when he got to the place, and the man went up on deck, and there he began to pray. But after that little visit that he had there, he went back and he wrote this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I think I'm telling that right. Some of these that are much better with singing are probably and know the story better than I do. But I want to just give you a little quick version of that. Our message today is going to be through the storm. We're going to the book of Jonah. How many of you have suffered through a great big storm? I know you had some storms down here last night. Maybe even a little bit of a thought of tornadoes coming around, some trees blowed down. But I'm not talking about that kind of a storm. I'm not even talking about the kind of storm that sunk that ship in that place. Although our reading lesson today is going to have to deal with a similar type storm. In the book of Jonah, in the first chapter is where we're going to read from today. I couldn't tell you when's the last time I used Jonah in a sermon until just a few weeks ago, and here we are again. But in the book of Jonah, it says in the fourth verse, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." And tempest means the waves were great big. They were very strong, slapping them around everywhere. But it says, "so that the ship was like to be broken." In other words, it was about to break apart. It was about to go under. And it says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried out, every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Y'all be prayerful for me today. We're talking about going through storms, aren't we? Every one of us at one time or another have gone through a storm in our lives. It may have been like a tornado, you might say. Maybe it's been that kind of a storm. Maybe it's been a storm of sickness. Maybe it's been a storm of love for someone who could not seem to get saved. Maybe it's been that kind of a storm in your life. But you've had a great burden upon you because it seemed like everything that you did, it just didn't work. If you'll notice in our reading lesson today, it said when the storm came up, first thing they did was they went and they lightened the load. They cast out every part of the ship that was not necessary in that day. If they had extra food on the ship, and they did, they throwed it overboard. If they had extra tackle, we'll say the things to fish with, the ropes, the sails, everything like that, they throwed it overboard is what they did. Now you might say, well, what's that got to do with this kind of a message today? I'm going to ask you today, if you've been going through a storm lately in your life, what have you done to be able to bring about a safe passage in that storm? That is the idea of this message today. If you've got somebody on your heart that's lost today, what have you done to try to help them get saved? No, we can't save them, but we can surely do a lot of praying, can't we? We can do a lot of things that will bring about a work in us that we can show others about being saved, can't we? If it's the type of storm of sickness, I know Brother Sam is going through that now. I know others in the church have been going through these kinds of storms in their lives that they just seem to carry us and bring us down so many times. In those kinds of storms, there's really two kinds of reactions that happens among people. The first one is, well, I'll just go away from God. Brother James talked about that son-in-law who had gotten mad at God one time, and that's one reaction to a people that people will have when that individuals come into a storm. They try to figure it out for themselves. Well, it was God's fault in that day. Do you remember how that the children of Israel, when that they had been brought out of Egypt, do you remember when they got out there and they was a little bit hungry? They started bickering. They started complaining. They started murmuring against God and against Moses and Aaron. What did they do? Moses, you brought us out here to die. What did you mean to do us in this way? We had it made back there in Egypt. Yeah, we were slaves. They were beating on us. They were whipping us with whips. We didn't have any choices about our lives. But you brought us out here to die. My goodness, why would a person want to think that was better? But that is much like people are today in this world. They start to think about the storm that they're going through, and the very first thought that comes to their mind is, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Why me, Lord? Why did I have to go through this? Miss Helen asked me about that other day. She was making a statement about not for herself, but for others that was in the family. And I said, sometimes the Lord just wants to use us to prove to the rest of the world that He's there. You think about what Moses went through in that day, when that the children of Israel were complaining. They were wanting to turn around. They were wanting to go back to Egypt. Do you imagine that Moses in that day was saying, oh Lord, why'd you bring this people upon me? Oh Lord, why do I have to suffer like this? Oh yeah, he was human like every one of us. But the answer is, God brought a man with some strength that would look unto the Lord for help. Notice that these mariners here in that day, what did they do? They started lightening the load first, but then they started calling upon their gods. I want you to notice in that reading lesson, that's a small g in that place. And that small g is everything else that you might cry out to in this day. That the storm of this life, maybe it's the storm of your sin, is you might have tried some other preacher. You might have tried a friend or loved one that is around you, trying to get a little peace from this storm that's raging in your soul. But I'm going to tell you today, until you go unto the great big God Almighty, you're not going to find peace in the storm. I'm telling you today that this storm that you're going through, it can only be solved by the great God Almighty. When Moses was there in the wilderness with them, and they said, we want the food that we had back in Egypt. He said, he went to God about it, and God provided for them every day for the rest of their lives. And when they got tired of the bread and they wanted meat, he provided quail for them every day. When they got thirsty, he went to God and he brought them water every day that followed them throughout the wilderness. I want you to think about that today. They had a great big God that was following them and was with them each and every day. I want you to realize today that even though you're in the storm of your life right now, it's time to look to God Almighty. He is the one that can save your soul. First of all, if you've been saved and you've had a lot of troubles lately, you've had a storm in your life with sickness, and you've been trying to do it by yourself, look to the great big God Almighty that will help you in this day. I want to back up just a minute. Before you can really try God, I made mention a while ago that they were throwing things overboard. They were throwing the things out of the ship, the things that were probably precious to them. I want you to understand something today. Sometimes we've got to get rid of the things that we think are precious in order that God can bless us. What I'm saying is, we've got to get, first of all, the sin out of our lives. That's going to be the main thing. If we've got sin in our lives, if we've got a little sin that we've kind of justified in our minds, well, this is not too bad. God won't hold me accountable. Remember what James said, if you've broken one of the commandments, it's the same as breaking them all. If you've got that kind of a sin in your life, maybe it's a big sin that Brother Sam talked about, the Ten Commandments. I should say the kids did, didn't they? They brought them out, all 10 of them. And when they brought out those commandments, if you've got one of them in your life, you need to get rid of it. It's time to cast it overboard, because I want you to understand something. God wants to know just how sincere you are about your prayer, about your storm that you're going through. He wants to know just how much you want that storm to subside. Now, remember, these men were probably in the midst of something like a hurricane. I want you to think about that. I don't know what a hurricane looks like. I remember being down in Florida when one of the hurricanes came off the coast of Daytona, and we went over and looked at the waves, and my goodness, they were big in that day. And it looked rough, but I could only imagine what it would have been for a little ship
out there in the middle of the storm. I want you to think about something. In this story here about Jonah, really what the reason came down to was Jonah had sinned against God. And God had sent this storm upon his ship for a reason. When the captain woke him up, he said, "You pray to your God." He used capital G there because Jonah knew who God really was. He did. Do you know who God really is today? Well, is he more than just a word in your Bible? I'm going to ask you that question. Is he more than just a word in your Bible? Is he more than just what your parents taught you? Is he more than what the preachers have told you about in your life? Is he more than that? Is he your God? How are you reverencing him? Are you lifting him up in the ways that you should? Jonah wasn't, was he? When Jonah got up on deck and they were saying, "Let's pray." And then they said, "Let's see whose fault it is." They cast lots is what they did. And it fell towards Jonah. They knew who the fault was at that time. You know, I can imagine Jonah in that moment in time. Can't you? I've been there. I've been one of them that was guilty, and I didn't want nobody to know, but God revealed it to somebody, and you know what I did? I had to, as old saying goes, fess up. I had to confess what was wrong. Jonah did the same thing. If we as God's people today have got that sin in our lives, it's time to fess up. It's time to fess up to God Almighty. Now, he did to the captain. He did to the crew. And he still wanted to get out of what he was supposed to do, which was go preach to Nineveh. But the fact of the matter was, he just didn't want to go. And the fact of the matter is, he'd rather have died than went and preached the gospel to them. You know, in that moment in time, he was in the midst of another storm. Yeah, the waves were crashing on the ship. The wind was blowing them every which way. But he had a storm in here that was saying, "You go." And he was saying, "I won't." He said, God said, "You go." And he said, "I don't want to, Lord." Have you been like that today? Maybe that's your storm today that you're dealing with today. Maybe it's to go down to the altar and pray. Maybe it's to do something else for God. But you have been saying, "No, I won't, Lord. My pride is worth more than that." That really was a whole lot of Jonah's trouble. He had a lot of pride about it, and he didn't want his enemy to hear him preach about God Almighty that they had denied for so long. He said, "Well, just cast me overboard." Well, if he knew that was going to help, why didn't he just jump overboard? You ever thought about that? Why didn't he just go ahead and jump overboard anyway? Try to save those people. He didn't want to be the one blamed. He didn't want to be blamed for his own life, did he? My friends, today, if you're going through a storm, accept the fact of what you need to do with God. First of all, getting rid of the extra cargo in your life. Getting rid of it and then calling upon God. And then when that you get to that place that you need to trust in God, fessing up about your sin. Confessing your sin. Not to me, not to your brothers and sisters, but first of all, you better confess it to God. Now, if you've got a sin against your brother, you better confess it to him, brother or sister, I'll say it that way. If you've got a sin against them, you need to confess it to them. But the fact of the matter was, Jonah said, you cast me overboard. You know, when they found out his God was the God of the Hebrews, you know what those men did? They got afraid. They knew there was something special about Jonah's God. And he is today. There's still something special about our great big God. Whew, he's wonderful, isn't he? He is great in our eyes, and we ought to keep that in our minds. But they finally got down to the place where they was willing to give up the sin that was causing the main part of the problem. Sinner friend, you know what you've got to do today? You got to get rid of the sin first that's causing the problem. If you're a lost sinner, you know what your sin is today? It's not the fact that you backtalked your mom and daddy. It's not the fact that maybe you picked up something at a store that wasn't yours, or maybe in the classroom. It's the fact that you did not believe God. Do you realize that the words of Jonah in that day was the words of God for those men? It was. Because he said, if you'll cast me overboard, you'll have peace. And you know what happened when they finally got willing to cast that man out of the ship? What happened to the sea? There was peace, wasn't it? You know what it says down there? In the 16th verse of that first chapter, it says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. If you're going through a storm right now in your life, I don't care if you're a saved one going through a storm or if you're a sinner going through a storm right now, I want you to think about something. When you put your trust in God, first of all, first thing that's going to happen is going to be peace. But you're going to start to fear God. And that's what you need to do more than anything today, is fear God. For when you get the sin completely out, you know, I talked about throwing out the extra things first. You know, I remember myself. I'm going to say it that way. I remember when I prayed, I'd say, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to. Did you pray that? Lord, forgive me of this sin. I know I was wrong in that. Did you do that? Lord, would you just have mercy on me, please? Did you do that? But all the time you was holding back on who God really was. Did you hold back just a little? That's the reason why you didn't get saved. That's the reason why you didn't get saved. It's because you held back just that little. Lord, I don't know if that's enough. But those men finally got to the place where the cause of their storm was cast out. What did they do? They put it in God's hands. Probably in their minds they thought, well, Jonah will drown in a heartbeat. He'll be gone and we won't have to worry about it. But what happened? God prepared a great fish for him. The old saying is, you jumped out of the frying pan into the fire for Jonah, wasn't it? But God had him right where he wanted. See, the main thing that I want you to listen to me about right now, though, is this. Because that the storm calmed, the men feared. If you get saved today and you start telling everybody about your soul salvation, you're going to, you know what it's going to do? It might cause your best friend to get saved. If you're going through a storm in your life as a child of God and you handle it the way the Lord wants you to handle it, you know what it's going to make everybody else do? He trusted in God. And he survived it. Oh, that storm may be more than we really think sometimes. We'll say, Lord, I just can't bear it. I can remember my mother and daddy saying, or my mother, daddy didn't say much of nothing, we just can't bear this, Lord. But when it got back to the time that they went back into the house of God, like David, it was good for them to worship the Lord. How are you coping with your storm today? Whatever it may be. How are you coping with it? Are you saying, well, I'll take care of it. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll make sure that it's, that I'll do everything I can and surely it'll be okay. It may not be a sin that you're going through these storms for. It may be just the pure fact that God used your strength to show some other sinner that they can trust in God too. That's what he's doing for you today. And I'm going to give you one other thought, and Brother Sam, I'm going to be done. What do we usually do when we get in that kind of a situation? We usually say, oh, Lord, I can't do it. With God, what's the scripture say? With God, all things are possible. Think about that today. He's not going to allow you to go through more than you can stand. He's going to give you a way out of every temptation. He's going to give you a way out as far as salvation is concerned. You just need to trust in him. I know this message has been back and forth and rambling around, but I hope it blessed your heart. Brother Sam, that's our message today. If you're here today and you're lost and away from God, remember that last song.
Number 88, My God is Real.